For the weekend kickoff with Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank, and Big T Terrence. Start your weekend off with all the news on the gridiron, in the cage, and the ring, and anywhere else that sports is happening. The weekend kickoff is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, number one for all your nutrition and supplement needs, with multiple locations around the valley to serve you better. Now, here are the guys to kick off your weekend on ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.
And welcome in. Good Saturday morning. Weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you each and every week by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Five locations all over the valley for all your nutrition and supplement needs. And, of course, it is the weekend, so I believe there's probably some lightning sales going on as well. Always cool stuff going on at Vegas Discount Nutrition's. Whether there's great sales or not, there's always great sales. That is your place to make sure that you stay in shape, get in shape, whatever your goals are. Talk to them. They're all experts over there. They will hook you up with the best products that money can buy, and you're going to spend less money when you go there and try them as well. All right, lots to get to today. Vegas is truly the mecca of the sports world right now with NASCAR in town. We've got NCAA basketball tournaments all over the place. And, of course, every sports book and casino and bar and every place else that you can watch regardless of what's going on in the sports world. Guys, lots of things going on. Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez on Ballpark Frank with the weekend kickoff. How you doing?
I'm in shock that you didn't mention Ring of Honor last night down at...
Because I was talking about sports. I was only talking about sports.
We want to go there right now? All right, let's go there. Speaking of sports.
Well, yeah, I threw you the alley-oop so you could attack Armando.
Armando, you know, I know he's very excited for this weekend, obviously not the basketball.
Yes, I'm very excited.
But your racing is in town.
Yes.
Your go-karts.
Not go-karts, they're NASCARs.
They're NASCARs? Is that what they're called? They're called NASCARs?
No, it's NASCAR.
It's NASCAR. In all honesty, like this... It's gotten me for years. I am in the minority. I know.
Thank you very much.
I am not at all. I have not one bit of interest in NASCAR or stock car racing. I have never have. For years, my friends every year back east would
not every, just back
every,
east here
no,
too.
But every weekend we would go, or every year they would go to the Pocono 500. And my buddy had a house up in near Camelback Mountain over there, and we'd go up there for the weekend of debauchery and just like drinking from Friday to Sunday. And they would all leave for the race on Sunday. And I never went, never had a desire to go.
Well, okay,
and
first of all,
I want to know what your.
First of all, it's not just a Sunday race. There's a Friday. There's Fridays going. Fridays, there's an event going on.
Friday is pole day.
Pole day, yes.
Where they basically do the qualifying and the final preparations for the races on Saturday. And Sunday.
Just so both of you know, pole day means something totally different in my world. But go ahead. And
then Saturday, you got the Xfinity race. If you're lucky, in some places you actually get a truck race and the Xfinity race on a Saturday. Then Sunday, you get the big boys, the Monster Energy Cup Series.
Which we will now have, by the way, out here.
And
the two races out here will now be the truck races, the Xfinity, and then the NASCAR race.
And just so you know, Armando, for the last couple of days, I'm teetering. I'm like right about here as to whether or not NASCAR is a real sport. I am. And I know that that bothers a lot of people. But
it doesn't bother me.
In my opinion, you do not at all have to be an athlete to compete in it. So I don't consider it a sport.
Why?
Because... You don't have to be athletic. You have to be skilled.
But, you have to be very skilled.
But not an athlete.
Well, it's hard to stay in a car for 4 hours.
Dude, I've driven down the shore. I've driven to California. You can make it.
No, 200 miles an hour following somebody in traffic and drafting and crashing around you. And I will say this.
The elements of the weather. Come on now.
I have interviewed and met several NASCAR drivers, and I will give them the benefit. I do think that they are athletes. I don't think they're not LeBron James or Olympic track and field guys or something like that, but there is a certain amount of endurance and everything else. But to me, it's almost more of a mental athlete with having to keep the control and everything else out there.
So like a chess player.
Yeah. Well, a chess player, but also with some... You have to
I'd
have
say
very...
the same amount of athletics are involved.
Well, I don't know. I don't think a chess player ever has to worry about a crash in front of him at 200 miles an hour and then trying to avoid it and get through it and everything and then go in the pits and basically...
Now, have you seen Bobby Fischer play?
Now, you do know you have family or some friends that run a pit.
No. I have a cousin from North Carolina. Her fiance works in some pit crew. So I'll be seeing her actually later on in the week because she's coming into town for the race. Yeah. But I've never considered. There's quite a few of them, though. It's not just NASCAR.
Do you think the pit crews are sometimes more athletic than the drivers? The way they have to jump over, change the tires, run around and take things off. Are some of them more athletic than the driver behind the wheel?
Yeah, I do agree. Yeah, some of them are more athletic. But I feel that there's lots of sports. And I say that in quotations, there's lots of sports out there that are not sports, that people consider sports. Golf is not a sport.
Oh, bite your tongue.
No, golf is not a sport. It's a game. It takes skill, but you do not need to be an athlete to be good at it. I remember years ago watching John Daly walk around the green with a cigarette and a beer. You cannot do that if it is a sport.
Well, he did.
So then that means it's not a sport.
Now, let me ask you this. In that respect, then, is baseball a sport? Because Babe Ruth, some people think, is the greatest baseball player of all time, and he certainly did not look like a felt athletic type of guy who was going to be doing the decathlon or something.
In 1920, yes. Today, no. Today, Babe Ruth would suck. Today, Babe Ruth would not be able to play professional baseball at all.
I mean, I don't know. He was a great pitcher, not just a great hitter, as people.
Listen, we are in a much different time. Athletes are so far superior. And if Babe Ruth, listen, yes, guys like LT back in the 80s, guy was blowing lines left and right and running through, you know, tackles and crushing quarterbacks, breaking legs, you know. As football is a sport, he was able to do it. But, you know, you can't be drinking beer, smoking cigarettes. That's not an athlete. You're not an athletic person if you can, you know what I mean? Okay. Like, it's just, so LT, yeah, like, he's a guy I look at was like a Babe Ruth of this era, a guy who was an absolute mess, but look at him now. You know, I don't even think LT could compete with some of the guys today.
So you're saying that today's guy from that era is Johnny Manziel today?
Exactly. Look at Johnny Manziel. This is a guy who wants to go, he's not even partying during the sport. While he's playing, he just does it off the field, and he still can't get his stuff together.
Yet Rob Gronkowski, when healthy, is still pretty. I guess my point is, and I'm throwing fodder up there to get the arguments going back and forth. Some guys can do it, some don't. But I'll remember with the Chicago Blackhawks years ago, Dennis Savard, one of their Hall of Fame players, a great player. He used to get a penalty, and he would literally light up a cigarette in the penalty box. Some people thought that he would actually get a penalty intentionally. The year that he quit smoking, he was actually quoted in the newspaper and on the local news channel saying, "I can't believe how much more energy I have now that I'm not a chain smoker anymore." And it's like, well, yeah, you thought all that stuff was just phony and it was being made up that it actually saps energy and that sort of stuff? He's like, "I have so much more energy now. I don't get tired. I don't need a cigarette if I go to the penalty box anymore. So I'm really not looking to go there." He basically admitted that once in a while he would try to get a penalty so he could get a cigarette during a game.
Which, so like today that wouldn't stand. That wouldn't fly. You can't. Today's athlete is constantly an athlete, just when they're perform. Not just when
there is no off season for
there
an athlete.
Exactly, there is no off season for it. You've got to be in peak professional shape at all times. Like golf, cards, poker. These are all things that are shown on ESPN.
Yeah, just because ESPN shows it doesn't mean that it's necessarily a sport.
Yeah, I don't think it's a sport. And I don't mean to offend. If you like golf, I mean you like watching a game.
Is curling a sport then?
Curling?
Yeah.
No.
No, no. Just because you move the broom back and forth.
I mean, you're good. You have janitorial skills. you have fine janitorial skills.
I was at the Orleans during that event. I know there's a lot of people there that would totally.
Remember this too, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. To get at the elite level of golf or curling or a lot of this stuff, poker when you're sitting around sometimes for 2 or 3 days straight without taking a break or whatever, the elite level is a different level than the guys that go out just once a week or once a month and do something. But you're saying that it still doesn't make you an athlete or make it a sport just because it takes a lot of discipline to be the best at it. The best chess players in the world take an awful lot of discipline in different things they do. It still doesn't take it's not an athletic endeavor to sit down at a chessboard.
Yeah,
it's a mental sport as opposed to a physical one sometimes.
I don't consider you an athlete when anyone can do it. Now, in NASCAR, you're absolutely right. Stock car racing, I'm sorry. I'm being very general here by calling it NASCAR because I'm talking about a specific league, correct?
Yeah, correct.
NASCAR is a league.
Yes.
Stock car racing is the
or any
sport
kind of racing
or hobby we're talking about. But when it comes down to it, yeah, like you have to be in peak shape to do, and that's the difference between being an athlete and being a participant. You know what I mean? So, like, in basketball, to be a good basketball player, you have to be athletic, you have to have skill. While to be a good card player, you don't have to be athletic. You just have to have that skill of playing the game. It's that mental skill. But I don't think it's a sport.
No, I would agree with you there, and I've always felt that. I mean, when you're sitting there, you're going, all right, now they're flopping the river. Let's see what happens. Oh, look at that athletic endeavor. He got the full house. It's like, no, that's not. That's a little bit different than the other stuff. And again, there's percentages and mental things going on or whatever, but I agree with you. And there's a lot of argument about what's sports, what's games, what isn't. Bowling's on TV all the time, and it's been there forever.
Not a sport.
And the top-level bowlers that bowl, you know, 300 games, and I don't mean a perfect game 300. I mean that literally bowl 300 games a week. Yeah, the wear and tear on your arm and your thumb and your hand and everything, that definitely takes a grind on you. But for the most part, I think bowling is more of a game than a sport.
Like, yeah, like you think about it. Anybody can go down to the bowling alley and go pay $1.25 or whatever it is now. I don't know. But you pay and you get your game of bowling. All right, and you went and you are no longer, you're not a professional athlete right now because you're going to bowl, all right? You are bowling just like anyone else, NASCAR or stock car racing. You drive really fast. You know what? I see lots of idiots all over this town driving fast, driving like they're NASCAR guys. You need to have a driver's license. That's it.
No, there's an actual venue where you go and drive.
I know, and I'm just busting on you. But you're clearly very excited about this race. You've been talking about.
And I do want to throw this in out there too to everybody visiting the town and everything else out there. Our opinions are not necessarily those of everybody.
Oh, come on.
And we do, and you know, and welcome to everybody in town and that kind of stuff. And they do a great job out at the Speedway. 644-4444 LVMS.com. I mean, we've had on Jeff Motley and the different drivers and people. It's a great event. It brings tons of money into the city and that kind of stuff. But there are different opinions about what is it. Like you say, Phil doesn't think that they're athletes. I think that they kind of are, but not in the same vein as like a LeBron James or something else.
There's a lot that goes into what they do.
And Armando thinks that they're some of the best athletes in the world.
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far, but there's a lot to what they do.
There is, and you were very excited this week because they added a second race. What does that mean for us here in the city?
What does that mean? Economically speaking, that means another event where 100,000 people potentially could come to Vegas and spend a lot of money.
Well, and not just spend a lot of money, spend an entire week out here. They go to all the appearances that they have. They're all over the place doing autograph signings, local bars, stores, everything else out there. Ethel M. Chocolates. Kyle Busch was just out there the other day.
That was sensational.
I mean, Kurt Busch was just over at his high school, gave a autographed hood to it, Durango High School. So there's a lot of cool things. And again, the other thing cool about it, if you are a true racing fan, not just NASCAR, there's the World of Outlaws, there's the drag races, there's motorcycle
the dirt track out there.
There
everything.
Is so much stuff going on at the Speedway all the time. Check out LVMS.com if you are a racing fan, because people that think that it is just the NASCAR weekend are really missing the boat.
Oh, yes.
So I'm missing the boat.
No, because you're not a racing fan. And I'll admit, I go out to the bowl ring a couple times a year and that's where Kurt and Kyle Busch, Brandon Gaughan, those guys, that's basically where they cut their teeth. You still might see them occasionally. They'll show up out of nowhere or something like that and drive out there. But, I mean, it is a cool event.
They're
and it
not
is
the
a
only
fun
ones.
Time
You'll always
it.
See somebody.
Oh, no. Yeah. You know, Jamie, I mean, when they open the pole positions and stuff like that in town here, you know, Kurt Busch, Jamie Little, people like that, they're behind that kind of stuff. I mean, there's some very cool stuff does go on out there. But again, if you're truly a racing fan, there's a lot more to it than just this weekend. But this is the big weekend. This is kind of like, you know, Opportunity Village does their stuff for, you know, their Christmas display that they have every year. But there's more to Opportunity Village. They're still out there 365 days a year. The Speedway goes on 365 a year.
Yes.
This is the big event. But don't by any means think that this is the only thing that goes on out there.
Well, I'm sure true racing fans do know that. Now, so when will the when's the other race going to be added on? Like how
next year, 2018? Then we'll have two races, one in March as usual, and then one in September.
Taking one of them from New Hampshire. New Hampshire will now drop down to one race, and we'll have two of them.
Stick it to New England there.
I heard it's like a nightmare getting out there.
It's not. It's not anymore. It isn't. Now, it might be a little bit worse this year because there is some construction in that, but they've worked on that stuff a lot.
That's the only thing that's going to mess things up.
The first year or two, it was a hassle getting out there. But they have a lot of shuttle buses now. They have a lot of police and the different people directing traffic. It is not nearly the nightmare that it used to be going in and out of there.
Nah, it's not. If you, the only thing that's troublesome is the construction. But if you wake up early enough, you go out there, you'll be in and out fine.
Yeah, I would imagine that if the Raiders come to town, that it will be more of a hassle going in and out of that stadium than it is going out to the Speedway right now.
Now, we got some news on that this week. What's going on with that?
Well, supposedly they got Bank of America.
Yeah, Bank of America, but I mean now... I heard like last week, Oakland had this new proposal to keep the Raiders there. Now,
what they need to
shut up. Oakland keeps on saying that they're trying to get. Lott's name pops up all the time. Ronnie Lott's been trying to get the team to stay there and get some investment groups for over a decade. It's like that ship has sailed. It's not happening in Oakland. It is not happening in Oakland.
And what they say if here it would be 2020. For the stadium opening?
Well, yeah, I mean, they still have to break ground. They still don't officially have the exact site that they're going to do it. There's still some arguments and wondering exactly where that's going to be.
I thought it was the Russell Road.
That's where everybody says, but it's not official yet. Oh, they haven't signed anything or just put a shovel in the ground.
I like that area down by Las Vegas Boulevard and Windmill. Right by the outlets, across from the outlets.
Yeah, that's it's probably going to be by the Russell Road in that. I mean, that's what everybody says. But again, nothing's officially signed yet.
Okay.
I mean, BNA's come in with the money and that, but they haven't completely greenlighted everything. The NFL still
has greenlighted.
They still haven't had their votes on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they still have to have owner meetings.
You know, and then they're still wondering, okay, well, where do they play for the couple years while they're still waiting for this to happen?
And they can't do Sam Boyd, can they?
No. The NFL apparently went out to Sam Boyd Stadium. No. As soon as they saw the gravel parking lot, they said no. Another stipulation that they had was when they looked there, Sam Boyd doesn't have kitchens. They don't make their own food. And the NFL mandates that you have to make all the stuff there for health reasons, that you can't bring everything in trucks and that kind of stuff. So it will not be happening at Sam Boyd. Because some people said, well, wait a second. We have the Chargers are going to move up, and they're playing in like a 30,000-seat stadium. Yeah, but that's a much more modern one than Sam Boyd. It will not happen at Sam Boyd. So that's one of the stipulations right now. Where are they going to play?
Couldn't they get Sam Boyd ready? I mean,
they can't.
Not even in a year or two?
They're going to build all the kitchens and put all the lines in and gas lines in. No, they're not. It's not good. The NFL said no to Sam Boyd.
Yeah,
Boyd is not happening. And plus, then they'd have to pave the parking lot and everything. That's not happening.
And also, like HDN lines, and there wasn't enough that would be able to actually facilitate to actually wire an NFL game.
Well,
and
who's going to put all that money into Sam Boyd when all we keep on hearing about is they're going to build a new stadium here? So what? You're going to fix up Sam Boyd and then say, oh, by the way,
goodbye.
Now we're going to basically say that you're going to be used for nothing anymore because we're building a new stadium for the team? Why would you put money in that? You don't put lipstick on the pig when you're about to slaughter it.
That's government spending.
Well, you know, there are weird people out there. But people do it fetishes.
But that's one of the things, too. It's like, do the Raiders stay in Oakland? Because some people are afraid that there's going to be riots and stuff if they do that. There's talk of them going down to Qualcomm and playing a couple years there. So San Diego fans lose the Chargers, then they're going to be Raiders fans for 2 years until they leave them to come to Vegas. So I don't know what would happen with that.
Yeah. Okay, all right. This week, I was excited about NASCAR, but when did free agency become a day that people get so excited about?
Man, yesterday was an absolute nightmare for me with free agency. The Saints letting Cooks go to the to the Patriots.
Thursday.
Well, how do the Patriots do it? Seriously. Like, what? And I'm not, and we had talked about this, come Super Bowl, around the Super Bowl, everyone had, it was like, you were either a Patriots fan or you wanted to see the Patriots lose. That was it. Yes. There was no in-between.
You love them or you hate them.
Yeah, I'm an in-between. I'm basically indifferent, but now, now I'm mad.
They took your guy.
They took my guy. Yeah, it's been insane with free agency this week. But, absolutely, it's amazing. Insane. And what about the Browns getting rid of Pryor? He had that one good guy they have. What are you doing? And then getting Osweiler? I have no idea what they're doing in Cleveland.
I don't know. The Osweiler thing is a very weird deal. Yeah, because it's like, we got him, so we're going to call him, and we're not going to have him, but we got some draft picks out. It's a very weird situation there.
Yeah, it's weird. And I hate, you know, you talk about draft picks. Like, that's what bothers me most about the Cooks deal. Like, if we had gotten, you know, like Butler in return or something. But no, we're getting draft picks. And draft picks, they're just, it's like a fart in the wind. I can't stand it. I don't know.
The
Pats don't need any more help. But yeah, I know you're
right. At least the Bears got rid of Jay Cutler.
Yay!
But what are they doing?
Well, they're screwing everything up like they always do. Alshon Jeffries, I knew they weren't going to pay him. He goes to the Eagles for $14 million for 1 year. So Carson Wentz goes, thank you. Now I have somebody to throw the ball to.
For a year.
No, the Bears continue to screw things up all over the place. And I'm sure Terrence is very happy about it. And he'll be able to laugh again next year at me and every other Bears fan when we once again suck. And Martellus Bennett is now the tight end for the
Bay.
Oh, now he's got a Super Bowl ring. Wow. So I just hope that he freezes and he hates it up there in Green Bay. I just really, really do. All right, we got to step aside because I need to calm down here. Phil's got my blood pressure up talking about this stuff. I love the Bears. I hate their front office. Always have, always will. It is the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, 5 locations around town. Still lots more to get to. Tons of basketball tournaments out here. And I believe we got a UFC fight night tonight as well. Lots more. Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, 5 locations around town for all your nutrition and supplement needs. Ballpark Frank, Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, and thanks once again to Big T Terrence making this happen. Always out there wheeling and dealing and doing great things at the store.
Well, guys, may I just say, I'm not the only one that thinks that Phil is just full of it.
Well, trust me, my tongue is bleeding in my mouth from the Lawrence Taylor stuff because I honestly think that the cocaine and stuff like that, as much as we do not endorse it, and you youngsters out there should not be trying it, but I think the cocaine is one of the things that made Lawrence Taylor.
But today's drug testing wouldn't allow it.
Well, now
today's drug testing he wouldn't be able to do it.
No, that's the thing. No, that part is true.
Of course,
he
it's
would
true.
Get busted. As far as the actual performance goes, I think that sometimes enhances performance because he was a raving lunatic
of
who felt
it
no
it's
pain
a
on the field.
It's a PED. It 100% is. It's not steroids, but it's a PED. Absolutely. But in today's league, it wouldn't happen. I mean, look at.
You're saying Steve Howe wouldn't get 7 lifetime bans, 1 and he might be done, actually?
What is it? Now, look, we're seeing players getting tested for or popping positive for marijuana left and right, and they're getting, you know, year suspensions. So coke's going to happen. Same thing's going to happen. I just don't think that in today's league, Lawrence Taylor would be the same guy. I just don't see it.
Let's see who else comes in and says something about you right now.
I do agree with you. The drug testing thing.
It's different.
But as far as just the athletic ability and that kind of stuff, it wasn't the cocaine that ruined him. Well, I mean, it did for the length of a career, maybe, or whatever.
No disrespect. Lawrence Taylor was a phenomenal athlete.
Oh,
okay.
Incredible.
There's no question about it. One of the scariest guys you'd ever want to line
Weisman.
Up. Yeah. You never want to line up against him. But, I mean, just today, I mean, athletes today are bigger, stronger, they're faster, they last longer. Just my opinion, man.
And the drugs they take now enhance their performance enhance their nightlives.
Mr. Taylor, if you're in Vegas, the address is 8755 West Flamingo. Because he comes here a lot for autograph signings.
I don't care.
Phil says you can't play, man.
Yeah, so,
not today.
I know, because I went to his last one.
Says you're a scrub. That's Phil Devine. Hook him up. Says LT scrub.
As a former Giants fan, yes.
Yes.
But if you are looking to get back in playing condition, go to Vegas Discount Nutrition, Mr. Taylor. Get all your nutrition and supplement needs.
Like guys like Julius Peppers went back to the Cowboys.
Why do you have to bring him up?
Julius Peppers is seriously like one of the biggest gentlemen I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Like that guy, like he is just the size of him.
I'm just glad that he quit his criminal ways after stealing money from the Bears for seasons. He finally earned a paycheck. Of course, he did it up in Green Bay just to get under my skin even more.
I gotta say something, Frank. You're much more spry this morning. Did you get some sleep last night?
Yes, I did.
You didn't do the overnight?
I did not do the comp overnight. I went and saw a concert for the first time in a long time. Had a blast. Saw John Fogerty, the old lead singer for Creedence Clearwater Revival.
How was Fogerty?
Oh, I'll tell you what. The guy's going to be 72 years old in May, and he still jumps. I wish I had his energy right now. I'm old, but I'm not nearly that old. I mean, I don't remember when dirt was invented like John Fogerty does, but I mean, he's running around, he's jumping up and down, played probably about an hour, 45 minutes or so, did all the hits, he still shreds the guitar, plays a little piano, rocks the harmonica, two of his sons join him in part of the show,
nice.
So very, very good show. I was expecting an okay concert. The production value, his voice and his playing and everything was way better than I thought it was going to be. It was a hell of a show.
Nice.
And again, the guy's still, he's jumping up and down and that kind of stuff. And I was sore standing on my feet just watching. I'm like, man, I need to sit down. And this guy stays on the stage the whole time. Excellent show. If you are a Creedence Clan and, fan and you want to throw back time, he's doing that residency there and over at the Wynn, and I think he's got another one. By the way, the Encore Theater, not really big. But if you do wonder how big it is, row L in the balcony is the final row. That's where we were, so we could stand up during the show without blocking anybody's view.
I've always wanted to see Fogerty. I've always been a fan of Creedence. Fogerty, too. I mean, and he played his hits, too, right?
Yeah. He played center field, but he played all the stuff from all three iconic 69 albums and that. I mean, he did everything out there, and it was a blast. And it, you know, like I say, his son joins him. He's like his other lead guitarist, and they're jamming together. They play a little banjo. He's telling stories about how he got into the music business, the songs that his mom and that would play for him. And then he tells a really cool story about his favorite guitar, how he actually gave it away at the Woodstock concert right after Woodstock. And he said he never felt the same. He felt like he was disenfranchised to music or something like that because he'd lost his baby. His wife actually found it by searching for years and years and years, found out where it was, and surprised him with it this last Christmas. So he has the original guitar back that he had all those years.
Wow.
And he plays a tune with that as well. And I mean, he was like a little kid in a candy store, like a little kid in Christmas. He said on Christmas morning, he shows the picture, she wrapped it in a flannel shirt and he didn't even have any idea what it was. He unbuttons the shirt and that and looks and he goes, wait, there's something else in here. Then he realized it was a guitar. He says, I see the guitar case and I'm like, don't get my hopes up. Don't tell me. And he goes, I open it up, and it's the original guitar again. So now that's one of the reasons I think he's back touring and he's doing stuff again. He said he feels that youthful exuberance again because he has the original guitar from Creedence back in his possession.
See, that's why you got to love this town when you have shows like guys like Fogerty being able to do a residency. I think tonight over at the Pearl, George Thorogood, I've always wanted to see him.
Man, I saw Thorogood years ago, and let me tell you, if you're up close, bring a towel or something, because that guy sweats. He puts everything into his show. I was close enough one time over at the Thomas and Mack. I think it was opening for the Allman Brothers or something. It was kind of a weird billing. But, I mean, it's like he pours everything into his show, but again, another great performer.
I used to go every year to Ozfest. Ozzy Osbourne would always lead it, and Ozzy, you know, notorious for throwing buckets of water on his fans during the shows. And I'm sitting front row, and he's throwing the water all over the place. I'm like, wow, I needed that because it's always during the summer.
Right.
It's so hot, and my friend Jamie turns to me. She's like, "You don't want to get this water on you." The reason Ozzy does that is because he can't control himself on stage.
Incontinence is a problem.
He relieves himself.
Yes.
And he's wet all the time.
Yes.
So to avoid, I guess, the embarrassment or any stigma that goes along with it. Yeah. He throws water on people.
I knew that story. I didn't know that you were going to actually go there with that, but yes, I've heard that as well.
Not need to know that.
Oh, no, no. That's a famous story about Ozzy. That's one of the reasons that for years he's been doing that.
Yeah.
The water isn't just to cool off the crowd.
I thought it was.
It's like I went to an Ozzy concert in a Gallagher comedian show. I needed the tarp up front, but yes, he does throw the water on there.
Okay. Yeah, he does all the time. And you know what? I got to say, though, Frank, I'm glad you got to go out to last night. You seem all rested, relaxed today. Instead of having to go home and sleep, I'm sure now you're going to have a full Saturday in front of you.
Yeah, there's a lot of basketball. I'm going to be watching basketball from here tonight and everywhere else. And, of course, I'll always watch hockey, although the Blackhawks, they lost that game last night.
I'm sorry.
We can't lose to Detroit. Detroit sucks, man.
I'm sorry.
Oh, me too. But I do want to throw in a real good feel-good story about hockey, though. You know the Vegas Golden Knights, Reed Duke is their first official player.
Yes.
Whether he makes the roster, how long he plays, that remains to be seen. But he is the first official Golden Knight. He'll always be the answer to that trivia
question. Loved your interview this week, by the way, in the Ring Rack Show.
But thank you very much. And one of the stories that we told on that show, and this is one of the things where hockey is different than some of the other sports. Real quick. 11-year-old Olivia Ledich, legally blind girl, Calgary Flames fan. The Flames recently brought her to a game. There's a new thing called eSight. It's like those head visions, goggle things that you put on, but it helps blind people literally see.
Wow.
They hooked her up with this thing, brought her down to the locker room, took pictures with her there, sat her on the bench for the warm-ups, and she stood on the ice during the national anthem, and then her and her mom, she actually saw her first actual hockey game thanks to eSight and the Flames. This is the kind of stuff that NHL teams do all the time. The Blackhawks just recently had an 11-year-old boy with lymphoma. They let him play goal for them in a scrimmage and that, different things. This is one of the reasons why the Golden Knights and the NHL, this community doesn't even know yet what they are in store for with an NHL team coming out here. They do so much stuff. If you don't like hockey, first off, when you see it live, I think you will. But secondly, just what they're going to mean to this community, it is an exciting time to be living in Las Vegas.
Always exciting in this city from cool venues, awesome concerts, things going on. Last night, I actually was watching I'm a bit of a hobbit. I usually don't go out much.
But, are you Bilbo, Frodo, Sam Gamgee? Which one are you?
I'm all of the above. Okay. But I watched Legacy Fighting last night. It was, I believe, their sixth show. And remember all week or a couple weeks ago, we were complaining about the UFC's lack of a flyweight division for women.
Yes.
And I mentioned how Legacy had their inaugural fight. Andrea KJB Lee, great fighter, would love to see someone like her in the UFC. Well, last night, trying to fight at 115, she missed weight for the second time. But Mackenzie Dern, world champion, Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, seriously one of those. I hesitate to go ahead and say the next Ronda Rousey, but that's what a lot of people are billing her as.
Yes.
Coming in as a world champion, now making her start in MMA. She's 3-0 right now. She won last night, unanimous decision, but in three fights for the second time, she's missed weight, and they had to have a catch weight last night at 120, and she's even said it afterwards, because one of the cool things is after her win, KJB Lee went out on Twitter and said, hey, why don't you come up and wait and you fight me for the title? We have a fight, because that's what people want to see.
Yes.
And she said, no, well, yeah, maybe that's an option, but I'm fighting at 115. And yes, I know that I'm having trouble making weight, but this is the weight class that the UFC has.
Right.
And I want to fight in the UFC.
And Michelle Waterson is in the same thing. She actually has to go up to 115, but there's not a weight class for her either.
Exactly. And I think this is where I think we need time, and especially with all of the issues we've been having with weight cutting. Weight cutting has been causing disasters. We're losing fights left and right on cards.
It's bad enough we have to lose fights to injuries every card.
Yeah.
But now we lose, and if we do have a fight, then it's no longer for the belt, or it's at a catch weight, or this guy's losing this much of his purse, and it's very frustrating. That's why, like, every time, and I know, we all love the fight business, and every time when a fight is, 3 or 4 months down the road, people tell me, oh, did you hear what's, I'm like, I'm not excited about that fight yet. Let me get closer to it. Let me see it's actually going to happen. And then this last fight card that we had, the day before the fight that I wanted to see, until I see them announce them and get in the cage and they grease them up and they get their check and everything and they're in there, I don't get too excited about any of them anymore because there's way too many times that your excitement level just gets completely shot down.
Yeah, and last week was last week was such a great fight card, too, up until that main event.
Up until the Dancing with No Stars version of the show?
Yeah, up until
Woodley
Thompson.
If I'm
going
to watch UFC fighters dance, please let it be Paige Van Zandt.
I think that first...
Well said, Frank.
That very first round was the most inactive round in UFC history. You know what it reminded me of? UFC 9. When... UFC 9...
What was it?
Was
well, see, because I was thinking
that was Shamrock and Severin, I believe it was, and Dan Severin and Shamrock. And what happened was, is they were told beforehand that they were not allowed to throw closed fist punches. They were actually in. It was in Michigan. They were in court like up until 4:15 the evening of the event. I remember John McCarthy in his book talking about how he walked out of the courthouse and into the arena. You know, they were trying to get, and one of the rules or one of their agreements to get the fight going and not have the card canceled because of all of the, you know, scrutiny that was going on with the UFC back in the day and no holds barred fighting. But Ken Shamrock just stood there with Dan Severin and they had a slap match for 25 minutes of just absolutely the most boring thing I've ever seen.
So it was all until, WWF rules.
Yeah, until last night, until last week. Week was the worst championship fight I've ever seen.
What was it? I want to say it was UFC 56 or 55. It was Kevin Jordan and Gabriel Gonzaga. That was one of the worst fights that I've ever seen.
There's been some real dud main events. I mean, we've had some. I mean, I remember almost going to sleep when Big Country Nelson and Frank Mir fought each other. Two big guys that just laid against the cage the entire time. And I like both fighters, and I respect the hell out of both fighters. But that fight, but again, and what makes it more, even harder to understand and makes it more frustrating is when it's a fight you're kind of looking forward to. Because everybody wanted to see what was going to happen in this one after the first one and that. They both said they were going to be more aggressive. They were both going to finish the fight. And nobody did anything till 25 seconds left in the fight. And Woodley kind of went, it's like a light bulb went off. And he said, you know, I could probably steal this thing now in the last 25 seconds because neither one of us has done a damn thing.
Yeah, and what about Rogan? Totally playing company guy.
Oh, yeah, and I was so disappointed in that because he's usually a guy who tells it like he sees it. Oh, and maybe he really did see it that way, but to get in there and basically chastise the crowd and say, I don't know what these people are doing. That was a great fight. That was a great tactical fight. I love this fight. Joe, if you love that fight, I don't know what you've been doing this weekend besides doing the MMA and your stand-up. But whatever drugs you've been taking, change them, because you're out of your friggin' mind.
Yeah, he puffed and didn't pass.
No.
It was probably another zero they added to his check, so and he
now,
has to be that
now,
way.
Now, you were there, Armando.
Yes, I was.
You had said to me earlier in the week that this is the very first time. I mean, you've been around hostile crowds before.
Yes, I have,
but this is
up on another level. I mean, when you go into the third round and they're coming out, you know, out of their corners or whatever, you know, they're coming in. The crowd in unison all started chanting, fight, fight, fight. I'm like, we're at a UFC event.
And you're begging for a fight.
And you're begging. I'm like, wow. In the end, off to the side, there's a guy goes, started screaming, defense, deep, just for the heck of it, just to start it.
As you were sitting there, at any point during that fight, did you go, I made the wrong choice watching UFC tonight. I should have watched the boxing match.
No, because the rest of the card, I get there pretty early.
Right. And I understand that. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying. Yeah. So the card wasn't ruined for you because of the main event.
It was not ruined.
But we've seen cards that have been bad before that are saved by the main event.
Yes.
If you have a great card, but unfortunately you have a horrible main event, some people will hold the entire card subject to that and go, what a crappy card. And it's unfair. But it's the reality in some people's mind. That's one of the things we've already said about UFC and MMA in general, that unlike boxing, they don't build a card around just the feature fight. They do it with the other stuff. But some people that just pay for the main event, they will still say, oh, what a crappy card. It wasn't a crappy card.
No, it was a great card.
It was a horrible main event. Mm-hmm. It's like seeing a great movie and the ending goes, Wow, why did you end it that way? That thing sucked.
Yeah. No, definitely. Well, no, I guess I'm too much of a hardcore fan, but I mean that Darren Elkins knockout was just sensational.
And that was that right there is one of the reasons you love the sport the way it is, and you see it. And as and in fact, actually, Rogan said it during the broadcast that that was like MMA in its rawest primal right there, where you saw Elkins get absolutely
beat.
Terrence was texting me during the fight, and he's like, they got to stop this thing. They got to stop this fight. It can't go on anymore. They're going to kill him. Darren Elkins is about to get murdered in the cage. And then he comes out of nowhere with that win and just, I mean, very impressive. I thought the whole card was great. I really did, except for the main event. The main event did anything. And like I said, for that first round, that reminded me seriously, and it was UFC 9, Motor City Madness, Dan Severin versus Ken Shamrock in a super fight where they stood, it was 30 minutes, it actually went 25 minutes, but then they had to do a 5-minute overtime because they couldn't figure out who had slapped who the hardest.
a friend of mine went to the Wax Museum recently, and he said there was more action there than there was in that first round.
Wow. Five total strikes thrown in that first round.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was.
Oh, yeah. The Overeem Hunt fight was sensational.
Yeah, the rest because of the card was.
I really thought Hunt was going to win. And then, you know, somebody forgot to tell Hunt to cover when the knees are coming at you.
That knee was brutal. And the way he fell, absolutely brutal. Nasty finish there.
That was awesome.
But, you know, it's funny. We talk about how cards, you don't get really excited anymore. And we lost the big one last weekend, which was Ferguson and Nurmagomedov. And now I hear there's some scramblings to try to get them back on a card against each other at UFC 211, or not 211, because 211...
The 211 is getting sensational right now.
Stacked, and I'll mention that, I'll get to that in a second. But Ferguson and Nurmagomedov, they're trying to get them back together again. But Ferguson, I think, wants a little incentive or some clauses thrown in there, you know, because he was a little upset.
He's still complaining right now about it. He didn't get his show money or something.
He didn't get his full show money, which Brett Okamoto was on with Steve Cofield and the MMA Insiders the other day, and I understand, and it sounded like Brett was playing company guy, but I understand why Tony, or I can understand. Do I agree with it? No. Tony should have gotten full show money. He did what he was contracted to do.
And it's not like this is the first time that this fight was scheduled and didn't happen.
Right.
So it's even more frustrating.
Yeah, exactly. So he wants some incentives if this fight does happen. I don't know if it does, but I think that I don't think it should. I think you should just say, Khabib, you had your chance. You had your chance. I think that the right thing to do is Ferguson versus Conor. I think that's the right thing to do.
But could you make that? Is Conor going to fight anybody right now?
He says he's going to be ready to come back in May.
Well, he says a lot of stuff. And then he says he's going to fight Mayweather. Then he says he's going to fight Pacquiao. Then he says, I'm just here with my girlfriend and my kids on the way.
Until anything further or until the UFC releases Conor from any contractual obligations, I am completely disregarding the Mayweather fight. It's not happening, in my opinion. Conor McGregor is the lightweight champion.
Okay.
He needs to defend his title.
Yes, so, he does.
Until he's
going to get ownership of the UFC. Shut up.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So until that he's released from his contract or there is an obligation where he can go fight Mayweather, I don't think that's going to happen.
And I hope you're right. We've all kind of felt that way for a long time, but it's the story that won't go away. I would love for it to go away. I would love for it to just end and get him back in the octagon where he belongs.
Every other day, there's another story about how he said this, she said that. It's getting annoying. All right,
but it's getting annoying.
It's getting beyond annoying now. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But we mentioned 211 and how 211 is shaping up to be a fantastic card.
Yes.
They just announced yesterday Frankie Edgar versus Yair Rodriguez, which is a mind blowing fight. I mean, it's an exciting fight. But when you have a guy like Yair who just tore through a legend in BJ Penn, and now you give him the guy that retired him the first time, and Frankie's a nightmare matchup for Yair, in my opinion. So it's
still,
it definitely is.
Does Frankie, and I know you know him, is his head still there? Does he really want to continue?
Sure.
You think so?
Yeah. What would make you think that he would? Because he can't beat Aldo?
No.
His last fight, he looked phenomenal against Stevens. And he took a lot of hard shots. Yeah. See, that's the thing is, Frank, you can't knock Frankie out.
No, you can't.
You just can't. No matter how hard you try, you just can't do it.
But eventually, those wars catch up to you.
Yeah, they eventually do.
And now knowing that he's not in for a title shot for all, he's going to have to build his way back up. Does he want to do that?
Well, that's why I question the fight, because you got this young stud in Yair who you're trying to groom him to possibly be a champion one day. And you're giving him to the only guy, to the guy that can beat anybody in the division but the champ.
Yep.
So you're in my opinion, I'm just seeing the UFC setting Yair up to fail in this instance. It's a fight. We know anything can happen. Yeah. But that UFC 211 card is just,
Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier.
Fingers crossed, Frank, that, you know, like you say, they're all greased up, locked in the cage together. But JDS against Stipe for the title.
Not really.
Champion Joanna versus Jessica Andrade for the title.
Now, does Miocic just take care of him right away and get him out and just not worry about it?
I don't know.
I mean, getting robbed by him last time?
JDS got the decision last time. It was a couple of years ago. It was a bad decision, but,
very bad.
This is why we lock the two guys in the cage and watch them duke it out. Find out who the better man is.
Now, we got to step aside here. Real quick, I want to throw this in, too. If I'm Yair's coach, I'm telling, all right, remember, that's what everybody said about Cody Garbrandt. This is your chance to shine and shock the world.
Yes.
As a coaching standpoint, that's what I'm doing. It is the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. We'll be back to wrap it up on a Saturday. Welcome back. Final go around here. Weekend Kickoff brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. 5 locations around the valley to serve you better. All right, guys, we only got a couple minutes left. Like I said, there's a ton of stuff going on this weekend. Of course, we've got the NASCAR races out at the Speedway. We've got 3 basketball games today.
Great
27
one.
College basketball games in all today, so there's a lot of tickets punched for the big Dance March Madness. We've got the UFC Fight Night, so lots of things going on.
From Brazil, and you know, you're
nice
actually,
car too.
We talked earlier about how, you know, yesterday's athletes would perform today. I think this is actually pretty fitting. Who's performing tonight? Who is in the main event? Vitor Belfort.
Should we retire Vitor and Shogun on the co-main event?
Well, let's just look at Vitor. Vitor, winner of UFC 12. The heavyweight tournament.
Yes.
He has been fighting as a professional for over 20 years. Former UFC, like I said, heavyweight champion from tournament 12. Former light heavyweight champion. Since coming back to the UFC, he has actually went for the middleweight title twice, once for the light heavyweight title. If you look between,
and scared John Jones.
Oh yeah, he did. And if you look from 2009 to 2015, he was 8-3. 3 losses were all title fights.
But did you see the weigh-in? The pictures of the weigh-in?
He's a totally different guy. That's
not
the thing.
He's not this well-chiseled, made out of granite guy.
2016, UFC is implementing much more stricter drug testing policy. Vitor can no longer take TRT. He's lost his last 2 fights. He looks like a completely different character. Somebody like, it doesn't look like the Vitor Belfort of old.
Oh, no.
No way. So this is what I was talking about, where you, in today's standards, some of these guys can't keep up.
Belfort's about a
gotta be a plus
take
3
back of around 250 to 3.
Yeah, okay, it's got to be at least. Yeah, and Kelvin, look at Kelvin in his last fight with Tim Kennedy. I mean, we harped on Kelvin for not making weight at 170. The move up to 185 looks like this was exactly what he needed, because
then
he tore through Tim Kennedy.
Yeah.
With something fierce, something fierce. So, you know, this is dangerous territory for Vitor Belfort tonight.
Any other fights on the card that you're looking forward to?
There's a lot. You know what?
I mean, Shogun's fighting. I always like the women fights.
Well, yeah, no, actually, there's
Brecht Correa.
Brecht Correa and Marion Renew, I think is the way you pronounce her name.
And Renew is the favorite in the fight.
And
slight favorite.
She, former RFA fighter. She's been in the UFC for a while.
Tim Means is fighting Cowboy Oliveira?
Tim Means, that should be a great fight. And Shogun's another guy like Vitor Belfort that, like, I get very excited when I hear that Shogun's fighting, because as a former, you know, diehard Shogun fan, I'm thinking of Pride 2005 yes. Grand Prix tournament winner. The Shogun of today has been in so many battles that he doesn't resemble the old Shogun in any way, shape, or form. And sending him up against a guy like Gian Vellante, who, you know, he's a brawler, he's a wrestler, but he will swing for the fences. And if he connects, it's going to be an ugly night for Shogun.
Those two need to be retired.
Shogun Vitor. You know what? It's not my say as to when someone should retire, but when I get scared when someone's fighting, yeah, that's when it's time to maybe think about it. But it's not my business to say.
You're correct.
But maybe I just won't watch.
All right. Unfortunately, it is my business to say that we are out of time. Thanks for listening. For Armando, for Phil, I'm Ballpark Frank. Enjoy yourself, whatever you do this weekend, and tune in again next week.